not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Hello and welcome, initiates, to another episode of the Awake Not Woke podcast. My name is Sarah, and this is episode 34, and we're talking about radical responsibility. This is a mindset, a way of looking at your life where you take complete responsibility for everything that happens to you. Chas and I are going to get into that, get into the original creator of this terminology and all that great stuff in this episode. I really like this concept. It is a really good way of seeing the things that happen to you in life. So I hope you get some value out of this podcast and this topic. But before we get into the episode, give us a follow on Instagram at Awake Not Woke Podcast. We have a Twitter at Awake Not Woke Pod and our website, awakenotwokepodcast.com. We have a contact page on there. So if you don't do social media and you want to reach out to us for literally any reason, just to say hi, you got some info, you have some input, reach out to us on there. We love to hear from all of you. And if you're enjoying the podcast and you have an iPhone, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out. Make sure you also subscribe or follow on whatever app you're using, because our new episodes drop every Sunday at 4:44 a.m. Eastern time, and you don't want to miss them if you're keeping up to date. And if you are keeping up to date and you find yourself receiving value from these podcasts, consider donating or checking out our shop to reimburse some of that value that you're receiving from the podcast back to us. That would mean the world. We want to keep on keeping on with this podcast, and it would really help do that in the most efficient way if you could reimburse some of that value. And you can reimburse that to Chas by checking out her Etsy shop, 5D Impressions shop on Etsy. She has hand stamped jewelry, lots of cool stuff. So check that out as well. And let's get into the episode 34, Radical Responsibility of Awake Not Woke Podcast with your host, myself, and Chas. Enjoy.
Yes. That was so good.
Maybe that'll just be the outro for this episode. It's just your cat.
Wait, it was recording?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I hit record. I wanted to give a meow.
Okay.
Oh my God, that was so good. Okay, I mean, go into that intro whenever you want.
Welcome back to Awake Not Woke Podcast. This is Chas and Sarah.
Hi.
And today we're going to be talking about a topic called radical responsibility. So it's made pretty well known through a book. Sarah's going to talk a little bit about the author and kind of breaking down what it means and then what our perspective of it and how we can implement radical responsibility into our daily lives and why it matters.
Yeah. So I have no idea where I heard this phrase originally from. It must have been some podcast or YouTube video about this guy and all his life and philosophies and stuff, because this guy's done a lot of stuff. But I heard about it probably a few years ago, because I remember talking to Andrew Cipriano about it. And as a concept, radical responsibility is really cool, in my opinion, and a really good life philosophy to kind of add into your spiritual tool bag.
Like, so mindfulness strategy.
Yeah, yeah. And something to just keep in mind during difficult times. But prepping for this episode, I found out that this is a book and a trademarked like way to be counseled. I think it's his program, like Radical Responsibility. I don't know if it's for businesses or whatever or individuals, but it's like a coaching program kind of thing. But it's a book by this guy named Fleet Mall. And the whole title of the book is Radical Responsibility, How to Move Beyond Blame, Fearlessly Live Your Highest Purpose, and Become an Unstoppable Force for Good. So like, sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And this guy is really interesting. I just want to talk about him for a second, because he's just a very interesting character in my brief research onto him. So Fleet Mall is a guy who he has a lot of titles in that I've found, and he does a lot of different things. But one of the most interesting things that I think about him is in the 80s, he was a multi-million dollar drug smuggler, and he smuggled cocaine and ended up going to prison, I think, for like 14 years.
Yeah.
And now he is a mindfulness coach, a meditation teacher. He has a PhD. He's a psychologist. He runs all these business coaching programs, and he also does like prison reform and prison spirituality stuff
because
he was in prison. So makes sense. But this is a program that he runs, the Radical Responsibility. And essentially what it is and what I think of it when I think of radical responsibility is being 100% responsible for anything that happens in your life. So what that means, and it sounds really simple, like that's literally what it is, just being radically responsible for your life or your business or whatever it may be. But it's a practice that that's what it is. It's a practice. So what do you think of like when you first think of radical responsibility?
Yeah. When looking into just brief research on this topic, one thing that kind of stuck out to me was this idea that things don't happen to you, they happen for you, which is a statement that I feel like can be controversial at times because there are definitely things in all of our lives that, you know, whether it's trauma or really awful shit that happens, but it's about taking those situations. And even though it's not your fault that maybe you experienced, you know, wrongdoing at somebody else's hand and it negatively impacted you, it is your responsibility to be able to learn from that and recover and heal from that, or else you're just going to keep, you know, hurting people in the same way that you were hurt because you have all this unresolved emotional trauma and triggers and mental shit from it. So I used to hate that statement. Things don't happen to you, they happen for you. But it's because I was in a very much victim place, and that's why I hated it. And I think going into this idea of victimhood, it's also something that kind of rings true into this radical responsibility, because it's about moving out of that and understanding that you can take full control of your happiness, your future, of your circumstance. And it doesn't mean that you need to do it, even though it's like a mindfulness strategy, in my opinion, it doesn't mean that you have to go about that in a holistic way if that's not the way you want to do it. It's just about taking accountability, understanding where you are, and also applying a lot of critical thinking.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah, I really like that. And a key from what you just said there is it's not always going to be your fault. But fault and then the responsibility that comes after whatever is faulted, they're two different things.
Yeah.
They don't have to be like, it's your fault, so it's your responsibility.
Right.
If you're in a scenario that you have to deal with, it's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a general blanket statement. And like you were saying too, it doesn't have to be woo-woo, and we're very woo-woo, so a lot of people that listen to this podcast are probably gonna take it like holistically and spiritually, but this is a very practical way of thinking, because even the most basic everyday life things, we can accidentally, from either trauma or just unconsciously, put blame on other people, and it's expending our energy in ways that's not productive.
Mm-hmm.
Another key to radical responsibility is being solution oriented and focusing on what you need to do to move forward. So the thing that always comes to mind as a good example of a scenario where it's not your fault, but you got to deal with it, is like a car accident.
Yeah.
So if you're in a fender bender, Not anything serious, but somebody rear ends you and your car's kind of fucked up and their car's kind of fucked up. And you could either get out of the car and start screaming at that person and be like, you fucking asshole. Like, how dare you? Which actually happened to me recently. Or you could be like, okay, let me see your insurance. Let's exchange information. Stay calm. We'll get it fixed. We'll figure it out. Like, we'll find the best scenario. And it's worrying about yourself. You're taking radical responsibility for yourself. that kind of scenario is going to happen to you in life. And those are the kinds of scenarios that I think can suck your energy so much without you realizing it, because you're so focused on things that aren't being productive for moving forward.
Yeah. And you touching on it, saying that it was a practice, is really resonating with me personally right now. And I know we'll kind of get into some of our personal situations in a few, but it's so important to understand that it's a practice, because these negative ruts that we get ourselves into are also a practice. We just aren't conscious of the fact that I am actively practicing negativity today. You know, we don't think about it like that, but you know that you're doing it if this becomes like a thing that you have to now reframe in your brain to be conscious of doing and practicing every day.
Yep. Yeah, no, for sure. Because when you are being like constantly negative, you are still putting blame elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You're not putting the blame on yourself for being negative. You're like, oh, my job sucks, which like, I get that. I feel that a lot. Yeah. My job sucks. But that's not where your energy should be going. It should be going to the things that are going to get you through the day, or the things that are going to get you out of that job. Because obviously, most people cannot just like quit their job today and right, like start making decisions. That's not what we mean by like, well, take charge of your life. But if you are in a job that's shitty and you're being negative all the time, what are steps that you can either not be negative all the time, not work there anymore, replace your income? What are things you can do that will make it easier for you to be there while you have to be there? And that is taking radical responsibility for your scenario.
And it's okay if it's like a baby step sort of. It doesn't mean that you're taking any less responsibility if you are making simple, small changes, because ultimately that does impact the greater idea of being responsible. And if you are somebody who is stuck in a negative loop or rut, it probably will feel like little to no progress when you're just doing these baby steps. So like the job reference, like you said, a lot of people can't just turn around, go get a job that pays the exact same or more and leave their unhappy situation. But what you could do is maybe wake up 5 to 10 minutes earlier and breathe, or just do something that makes you feel a little calmer or happier for that moment. And then you're able to kind of take that moment throughout your day. Or maybe it's like, I love breathing for this kind of a thing, because when you are in a shitty job and you're just in the zone and just in the grind, being able to just take even one breath in the middle of that stressful moment really changes your perspective, even if it's just for a minute. Like you're not going to be good at it right away. I mean, maybe you will. I don't know. I think when anything that has to be practiced, it's this idea that like it's progress. Exactly. Yeah. Like it's progress, not perfection. So if you're not just like jumping right into radical responsibility, you don't have to further your negative thinking by thinking, oh, this isn't working, I'm not good at it, I guess I'll just stop. It's just something that you have to consciously do and understand that it's not going to be perfect, but you taking responsibility of even that concept of needing to be perfect is another way that you can be radically responsible in your own life.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to another way you can practice being radically responsible, is to stop making excuses. Mm-hmm. And there's always good excuses, but it's still an excuse. Like whether you literally don't have time for something or you hurt yourself, like let's say going to the gym is another one that is something that me and you have both talked about.
Yep.
Needing to do, getting in the habit of doing, getting out of the habit of doing. And sometimes I literally just don't want to go, and that's my reason. Or sometimes I didn't get up early enough, and that's my reason. But it's when the excuses stop and the action starts, when the actual responsibility happens. So if you are trying to go to the gym, maybe you take one day a week and you set aside time to do that, and that you have to get that done no matter what in that day, or whatever it is for you, doing videos on YouTube or whatever you need to do to get that goal completed. Figure it out and do it.
Yeah.
Another thing I find I myself making excuses for is when things aren't working for me. I was worried this was going to happen with the podcast, but it got some attention really early on that was really encouraging for me and made it easier for me to march forward, even if I'm not seeing the progress that I want to see from something. But making excuses and giving up on something is another place where you can adapt radical responsibility. Because ultimately, if something's not working, it's you.
But you got to figure out why.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's your technique. Maybe it's your
content. Maybe it's your or
ignorance.
Attitude.
Like maybe you just need to learn more things. Whatever it is, I definitely, it's hard because I feel like I am somebody in the past that has been triggered by statements like that. And I think a lot of people can be because it's really fucking hard to understand that. And then when you do go through other hard times in the future, when you remember that, it kind of, it can be a great thing and help you and pull you out. And it can also be like a salt in the wound thing. But those are exactly like, you have to be in that middle where you understand that, like, yeah, this really sucks. I know that I'm here because of my decisions, or, you know, this happened and it's my responsibility to get out of it. But you have to be able to understand that it is your responsibility, even if it feels like it's everybody else's fault. And that's just your programming. And it's not just from personal decisions that get you in negative ruts. I mean, culture, society, all kinds of things can contribute to that.
Yeah, it there's lots of things that are going to contribute to the difficulty of maintaining radical responsibility. But just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's not still your responsibility.
Sure.
And that's a hard thing to understand too, especially when you are faced with something that's really, really difficult. You want to throw all the excuses at it so it's easier when you fail.
Yeah.
Essentially. We all do it. And it's not easy to hear. But ultimately, there's something that you're doing that you could either not be doing, change doing, start doing, that will improve your situation. Another example that comes to mind while we're talking about this is, it comes from a Instagrammer that I follow. I think his name is Matty Woodard. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but he's a Instagram marketer kind of guy. And I follow him because he has really good advice on basically just gaining recognition on Instagram. And he always talks about how if your content isn't getting the likes and shares that you want it to, what's the issue there?
Yeah.
Is it the people who aren't looking at it, or is it your fucking content?
Right.
It's your fucking content.
Every
time.
Because
if people wanted to look at it, they would look at it.
Yeah.
And yes, there is algorithm issues where like some topics are literally censored and people will not see it, even if it's great content. But again, it's not the algorithm's fault. You need to find a way around that algorithm then.
Right.
People censor themselves or put little symbols instead of words, like fucking vaccine and mandate and stuff.
Yeah.
Like on Instagram, that will get censored. Or like I find myself getting less interactions on posts where I use like hashtag conspiracy. But then it's my responsibility to decide, do I want to not use that hashtag so more people will see it? Or do I want to risk using that hashtag so the right people will see it?
Yeah.
And is the amount of interaction that I'm getting enough? Or is there something that I could be doing that will resonate more with the people who are following me? And none of these things, I feel like it feels a little shallow sometimes when you're talking about business and marketing and Instagram and social media and stuff like that, but it can be copy-pasted into every aspect of your life. Are you in a relationship that feels uneasy, or you're not communicating well with your partner? What are you doing? Do you get mad at stupid shit and then they right. shut down because they don't want to hear you yell at them?
Yeah.
Well, what can you do about that? Or is there other communication issues going on and you haven't expressed that desire to communicate more? There's a million examples that you can use for demonstrating this. And that's, again, why it's a practice. Because every day there's thousands, if not a million, different opportunities to practice this radical responsibility.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I love that Lori Ladd often says is...
You haven't mentioned Lori in a while.
Never forgotten, though. Always in my heart. But she talks a lot about how stepping out of this victim role or, you know, this idea of everything happens, you know, bad to me, just stepping out of that victim role really allows you to embrace sovereignty and to be truly sovereign. And I think that you can talk about sovereignty in a lot of different contexts. You can talk about it in regards to like literal freedom, or you could even just apply it to like your emotional and mental state too. So if I'm somebody that has gone through a significant amount of just shit experiences, we all have, like, it's no one's special in that regard. You know, everyone goes through their shit. Everyone's got shit, but
unless you're an NPC.
But if I'm somebody that has experienced a lot of things that, you know, weren't quote unquote, again, my fault, like, you know, if I have crappy parents or whatever the case may be, it is my responsibility to recognize that, okay, this is life. This is what's happened. These are the cards that I'm dealt. How am I going to play this hand? And part of playing that hand in the radically responsible way is understanding that you have to move through it and that it is your choice to be able to do that. And it doesn't mean that it's your choice, you know, choose to be happy. Yes, but when it comes to like the mental health community, I feel like that's a really like frowned upon idea, choose to be happy. But I don't think that it's as simple as what that quote means, because choosing to be happy, for instance, is about making the decision to choose to be unhappy. So like you don't just wake up and you're like, I'm going to be happy today. Sometimes you have to start with, I'm not going to be unhappy today. I'm not going to be negative today. And when you do those things, that gives you emotional freedom or emotional sovereignty, because now you're not in control of how I feel today. If you cut me off, if somebody cuts me off or on the road or whatever happens, and I allow that to overtake me and engulf me, and I'm just stuck in this like ugh, sort of feeling, that person has full control and power over me. But if I can observe the situation, step out of the muck and watch it move by or watch it move through me, however you want to look at it, that gives me power and that gives me sovereignty, because it's my decision and I have power over my emotions. And mastering the mind, like that's a whole other thing. Like you could talk about that forever, but I think it's part of it, because these little, you know, practices, I heard once the brain is like butter. So like you can melt it down and reform it. You can draw little lines in a softened butter, but it's butter. Like you can still change it. It's not like a piece of, I mean, I don't know, other analogies, I'm not going to do that. But yeah, that really, that stuck with me, because it told me that I have the ability to, whatever is maybe ingrained in this butter brain, I can just melt it down and create those new pathways, which, you know, is that positive thinking, is that mindfulness strategies, or maybe it's something like making a decision to go to fucking therapy. Like it doesn't have to be, you know, like we said, this holistic woo-woo side of things. It can be a very other side. You know, if you're having a hard time, if you're super significantly depressed, maybe, you know, listen to the mental health episode that we did, because there's a lot of stuff in that. But maybe the radical responsible thing for you to do is to go talk to somebody.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say too. What you made me think of when you said sometimes you have to decide to not be unhappy. When you decide that, sometimes, a lot of times, there are other steps that need to be done to reinforce that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, an example that I've been experiencing the last few months is I work a retail job that I kind of fucking hate right now. And I didn't always hate it, but right now is particularly hard for me because I feel that I'm on a precipice of a new chapter of my life and I don't want to be there anymore. And I think that's a normal feeling for someone who is starting something more exciting, or like think when you're a senior in high school and you just got accepted into a college that's like out of state and you're going to be by yourself for the first time. That lasts like 6 months of high school. It's painful.
Senioritis.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of how I've felt at my job for a long time. And I've let it consume me to the point where I get pissed off really easy. I am constantly just mad that I was undervalued for those last few years, or that I not being seen for how hard I work. It's been really hard for me to change that mindset. But in the last few days, first of all, sent out a super passive aggressive email, which was like, was that super healthy? Probably not. But in the moment, I did it without even thinking. It just kind of happened. And normally I would just let my anger stew and build. And that day I decided to do something, and it wasn't the healthiest thing in the world, but I did something and I sent it to everybody in the store. So that got some attention, and that was okay. After I did it, I was like, oh fuck, why did I do that? But it allowed me to release something, and it wasn't healthy at all, but it allowed me to release something. And then as the day went on, I was still not in a great mood. I snapped at some people. I wasn't mean in any way, but was just super not happy, and ended up talking to some of the leadership at my work about all of this. And I genuinely just let them know how I was feeling. We talked for a long time, and I've worked there for a long time, so I'm friends with a lot of the people I work with. So it was a talk that hit in a way that allowed me to let go of this feeling and decide to be happy. So yeah. I don't think I could have as easily done that without having a moment where I actually felt recognized. And sometimes you need that moment. If you're feeling unrecognized, sometimes feeling recognized is going to help you take responsibility for the terrible feelings that come with being unrecognized. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's okay too. Radical responsibility isn't just about just knowing what to do. It's about figuring it out and being active in figuring it out. If there's some rocky roads on the way to figuring that out, if you're still unhappy for a while before you figure out how to be happy, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
You gotta do it.
And I love that we can have a episode on this concept while at the same time knowing that we are not perfect at this.
No.
We never will be.
No.
In fact, I feel like radical responsibility is something I think you learn throughout your life, whether you are conscious of it or not.
Right.
But
whether you have a name for it or
yeah,
not.
But the more you really, I think, grow into your adulthood and then you get these ideas thrown at you, you're able to digest them at a more mature and higher perspective. And I'm definitely at a place right now where I'm learning radical responsibility in so many ways. And I think in order to do that, it requires going inward. So go listen to also that episode too, because you have to take inventory of what's going on in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit in order to be able to acknowledge and change those things. And if you don't think about it, you won't do anything about it. So that's a way to be solution oriented too. Maybe you are over, I'm somebody that gets I don't see the small steps. I just see problem, solution, and it seems like 40,000 years away and I'm never going to get there. And I am somebody that stays in that. So instead of taking the first baby step and seeing all the little baby steps I can take to get to that end result, I'm just like, that's 40,000 years away. I'm just going to not. And then yeah. You find yourself just waiting for the solution to drop into your lap, which is incredibly silly when you say it out loud and you really think about it, but it doesn't feel silly when that's how you're living your life. Or I'm also somebody that seeks a lot of external validation in order to feel worth within myself.
Yeah. I struggle with that too.
Yeah. And that is something that requires a lot of radical responsibility, because you have to understand that you do have worth regardless of what other people think, say, view you. I mean, it's helpful. It can be helpful to have that recognition and that encouragement from outward sources, especially in times of need or just lows. I think that's really helpful to kind of get you out of that. But when it governs your view of yourself is when it becomes very unhealthy. And that's when you need to step in and be truly responsible. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes. Figuring that out.
I think another side to that too is not only figuring out
how to take responsibility for yourself and your actions, and it's going to be an ongoing progress. But another thing that I think a lot of people probably struggle with is knowing when to not take responsibility for something.
Like when it's not your fucking burden to carry.
Exactly. And that's another thing that I personally have a hard time with a lot of times, because part of radical responsibility is drawing boundaries. Mm-hmm. And knowing where those boundaries are and knowing when someone has overstepped them and dealing with that. And especially when you either like you're just a passive person, or you grew up in a toxic household where maybe there is a lot of overpowering going on. There's a lot of places that this can stem from. But when we are always putting the blame on ourselves, like, oh, I'm just not good enough. Like, they just don't like me enough. I'm just not great at my job. And that's another thing I personally struggled with at my job, which led me to being so negative in this last few years or so. Because I've been there for, again, a long time. And the first good few years I worked there, I was always just telling myself, I need to work harder. I need to, which, I mean, everybody can do a little more improving in their work life or whatever aspect of their life. But I wasn't receiving recognition, and other people were. And I felt we were doing similar, if not, I was doing more work. And that was really frustrating. But I refused to recognize that it was an injustice and deal with it in the moment. And I put the blame on myself when I should have dealt with that. And it was my radical responsibility to step up and say, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. I think I deserve more money, more recognition, more whatever it is. This is why. And have my receipts, have my reasons why. But I didn't. And I took that burden on myself and said, oh, well, I'm just not good enough. I must just have to do this more, do that more, yeah, or whatever it was. And again, everyone has room for improvement. But I now realized that it's still my responsibility after all this time. Mm-hmm. And just because I didn't step up and it was wrong what happened or what didn't happen, it's now. It's the present. It's not then.
Yeah.
So it's up to me to figure out a way to reconcile that. And it won't get reconciled in a way that it would have if I had dealt with it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay, because that's what I'm working with. That's the cards I've been dealt.
Yeah. And I think if you don't recognize and deal with these things, they just continue to happen. I work my ass off at any business, any company I've ever been employed at. I mean, I'm a hard worker. I have good work ethic to a point where I would chronically burn out. I would overextend myself to the point of, and whether I was needing that validation or I just felt like if I work this hard and if I become the best at something, mm-hmm, then that means I'm a good person, or that mm-hmm means that I have killer work ethic, or that means I'm responsible or more adult or more mature. Like all of these things, I would just push myself to the point of so burnt out and so fucking miserable that I would just leave. And then I would find myself at another job and I would just repeat the exact same pattern because I wasn't recognizing that I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, like, you didn't set that boundary.
There was no boundary at all. And that's something I've really practiced a lot, especially in the last few years of my life. But this idea that if what we don't address just is going to repeat itself, that's also part of this responsibility. Because if you don't address it, you're just going to keep finding yourself in these same situations and you'll just keep blaming other people. And part of radical responsibility is moving that blame. And I mean, I'm for sure guilty of this. I've overextended myself, whether it be a job or friendships or family relationships, you name it. I've pushed myself to the point where I get mad and then I start to blame because I refused to draw that line myself. And then instead of conversing and working through that and drawing that line, I just walk away because abandoning that is easier for me than taking that radical responsibility. And a lot of the times, that's exactly true. It's going to be so much easier to just stay in that negative place. It's not going to feel good. It's still going to feel like fucking shit.
Yeah.
But like, it's easier because you've got that ingrained now. That's your pattern. That's your routine. And when you're in a routine, I mean, you hear it all the time. People, that's why people wake up at the same time every day and they have their routines and they do the same thing because it makes certain aspects of life more palatable,
more bearable.
Yeah. And
fucking
easier.
Being a human sucks. Like, it's hard.
It's really fucking hard. But if you stay in that negative just because it's easy, your whole life is just going to fly by. And like, that's something I turned 30 this year and I'm just realizing all of these things that I don't think, maybe I would have noticed them earlier. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, whatever. That's not the point. The point is I'm realizing that at this point, if I don't take responsibility for these things, nobody's coming. No one's coming to save me. Like, nobody's coming to pick up the pieces for me, mend my broken heart. Like, nobody's going to do any of that shit. I have to do it. And it's really hard. And some days it's a baby step. And other days I take a giant leap and I'm like, damn, like I made some progress today. And then maybe the next day it's back to a baby step. But that's why it's a practice. And as long as you continue to
going
do
forward
it
forward
every single day,
and even if it sometimes feels like one step forward, two steps mm-hmm. back,
and it will.
Deal, it will.
Oh, it will.
For sure. But that's okay too, because recognizing that it was your responsibility when you took two steps back.
Yep.
It was also your responsibility when you took a step forward.
Yep.
And you can take two more steps forward and catch back up.
You can pat yourself on the back. Like, you're allowed to like be proud of yourself.
And it's so fucking cheesy, and everybody's seen like their weird great aunt's like Facebook post about this kind of shit, but it's never too late to take responsibility.
Weird aunt's Facebook post.
But you know what I mean? There's like a minion in it or something.
It would only be Facebook.
Yeah, no, also. Only on Facebook. And it's like a video, but it's just a picture. And for some reason, there's like a video function. And it's just like a minion. And it says, it's never too late. This person started at 30. This person started at 40.
And like some weird iPhone ringtone for the music.
Totally. But you know what I'm saying? You can picture it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like a light blue color with like really bad like Comic Sans font or some shit.
Comic Sans. Yeah. Oh my God. But it is. It's never.
But it's like literally, it's true. You could, if you were 75, you could decide to start a business if you wanted. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could decide to go to therapy at 50. You can decide to stop smoking, to stop drinking, to just be nicer to people. Like, you can decide to start exercising
mm-hmm.
whenever you want. And that's the beautiful thing about radical responsibility, is because it doesn't matter when you start. It just Mm-mm. matters that you fucking start. So right now, if you're listening to this, you can start practicing. If you're procrastinating something, if you're listening to this and you haven't been doing something that you could be doing while you're listening to this, just pick it up and start doing it. If you want to start drawing, you want to learn how to draw, fucking do it right now. If you want to go to the gym, you want to work out, go on a walk, go to the fucking gym. Do it. Just do it right now.
Just do it.
Yeah. Just do it. We're Nike. We're sponsored by Nike now.
Gross. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care.
Child labor laws. Yes. Anyway, do you have any examples of like your life and how you've used radical responsibility?
Or haven't.
Either way.
I've got more of those. I think kind of coming at it from a trauma / mental health perspective. If you did listen to our mental health episode, I shared a lot of just personal shit that I've kind of gone through. And it's never something that I'm not going through, but the responsible thing is to keep going. So if I'm coming out of a really crazy burnout situation, I feel like I've crossed the threshold of coming out of it, so to speak. But now I'm in a place where like, okay, I'm out of this situation. I got myself out of that situation. Great. Awesome. Very thankful. So what am I going to do to maintain this outlook or develop a different outlook? It doesn't have to, just because you have a routine doesn't mean it has to stay the same. And I know that sounds kind of like contradictory, but you can implement other things into a routine.
If it's not working.
Exactly.
It's your responsibility to fix it.
And you can. You can literally change anything. I get in these ruts of like just thinking that either I'll do it tomorrow or worse, oh, I can't. Like, I would rather have the mentality of I'll do it tomorrow than I can't, because at least there's a little bit of hope there.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm working through right now is this idea of like negative coping mechanisms and how to change that, because it's really, I've said it a billion times, but it's so much easier to stay in these places. And the reality is the longer you do, the more miserable you're going to be. And if you want to have a miserable life, then like more power to you, like just keep on going, like don't listen. But I'm in a place where I am starting to understand
that. All our listeners just stop listening.
Sorry.
They're like, fine.
Zero downloads.
I'm just kidding.
But what am I going to do to keep this this brain of mine in a place where I don't go into the depths and I don't stay there? So one thing I'm working on is how to fuel my body. I've been really researching different ways of how to take care of myself as far as like the food that I'm eating. You know, I want it to be something that's going to fuel me and do my body well, but I want to enjoy it. You know, I don't want to get into like a restrictive place where I'm miserable about what I can't eat. Like, I don't want to go there. So how do I make this outlook on food something that I can't have a box of Oreos to... I'm choosing not to eat something that's going to make me feel like shit, that's going to negatively impact my health, in order to stay healthy. I am really trying to get into an exercise routine, and I'm not going to lie, it's kind of coming from like a vanity sort of place, like, you know, working on my body. But really what is below that is I understand that these lifestyle decisions that I'm making ultimately fuel this radical responsibility. Because if I want my life to change, I have to do something about it. If I want my body to look different, I have to do something about that. I have to change my diet. I have to go to the gym. I have to do whatever I need to do. So vanity or not, I mean, I'm taking responsibility of that situation. Trauma, I don't even think I need to say anymore.
Period.
And the trauma. Story, yeah. Like, yeah.
No, but really.
When you go through shit that, again, isn't quote unquote your fault, it can be really
difficult. Which you will.
Everyone will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really difficult to like see why you should take responsibility, because you're just really stuck on the fact of like, oh, well, my parents abandoned me, so that's cool.
Right.
And that just becomes your identity.
And honestly, to go down a more conspirituality thought process with that, you chose to incarnate with your parents. It was your decision in the astral realm or whatever before we decided to incarnate in Earthland in the video game that we're in right now. We decided to come here because whatever purpose that we decided to accomplish in this lifetime, and I dare say if you are listening to this and it's around the same time that we're listening or we're recording this, we probably incarnated here because of the larger events that are going on in our world. And if you're actively trying to be awake and sovereign, a lot of our purpose may be to shift the collective, to awaken others. So you decided to come here, whether you remember it or not, which you probably don't, because that's kind of the whole point, is to re-remember. But again, you got to take responsibility. And that sounds even sillier if you're not a super crazy woo-woo person like we are, that you are taking responsibility for even the parents that you have. But that's kind of what bloodline trauma is, mm-hmm. too. And even if you aren't going the woo-woo route where like, I decided to incarnate here because my shitty parents helped me learn some lessons that will help me in this lifetime. If you don't want to go that route, you can still go, well, my parents are traumatized and their parents are traumatized and their parents are traumatized, and I'm going to stop that.
Yep.
I'm going to, and my kids, if I ever had kids, they're probably going to have some traumas, and it's not going to be, quote, my entire fault.
Yeah.
But I still have to take responsibility for that. And yeah. I'm choosing to heal myself as much as possible so I don't continue this toxic cycle.
And just because you're the person in your family or in your generations that is breaking the cycle doesn't mean it's going to be hard. And it's going to be really hard. And I say this with love. I say it to myself also. But if you hear the statement, woo-woo or not, that you're responsible and you're triggered by it, you might be in a victim mentality.
Oh, and honestly, that gets into more conspiracy talk too, because our media tells us to all be victims. Mm-hmm. It tells us to make sure you get that trophy and make sure you're not discriminated against and make sure people are nice to you. And that's just not how it works. It's your responsibility to get yourself out of unsavory situations.
Mm-hmm.
So you should never be the victim. I mean, obviously you can be a victim of a crime, of trauma, of abuse, but again, it's still your responsibility to deal with it.
And if you don't, I mean, it just means more like pain for yourself.
Right.
So I think part of this responsibility that I feel like is important to acknowledge is you have to learn how to have compassion for yourself. And I don't mean this in a like, woe is me sort of way. I mean, look, we all have pity parties. We all have days where we just literally pour the tea for everybody and we are in it. And that's fine. It's fine. We're humans. We're going to have those moments. But you have to have compassion for yourself and realize that your life is worth living and it's worth it to make these hard changes. My dad used to tell me all the time growing up, you're going to be the one to break the cycle. And I never knew what that meant until I was an adult and till he wasn't here, which is a whole other thing. But I understand now what that means. My family on both sides has a huge history of alcoholism, addiction, mental health disorders, like you name it. And my parents did their very, very best with me. I really, truly believe that. And because of their efforts, I'm able to see all of this history and peel back all of these layers and understand that by me living my life differently, I literally am breaking a cycle. Because if I have kids one day, they're not going to grow up in that way. I mean, I'm going to have my own shit too. Like, I think every parent kind of fucks up their kids in a little bit of a way. But being able to peel back those layers, whether you're doing it generationally or in a spiritual way, stepping out of that victimhood is only going to give you more power. And it's going to be sad. You're going to have to mourn like that side of you that was stuck in this very negative place, because that's been your identity. And whenever you're changing a part of you, you got to let it go. You can always remember that it's there. It's always going to be a part of you. And maybe that part is going to serve you well in the future. Maybe you can integrate that into something else. But you have to be able to take that next step, that responsible step forward to break those cycles, whether it be for generations or just for yourself.
And I don't think it even really matters what it is, mm-hmm. whether you think of it spiritually or just like literally, or you're for your children in the future's sake. I don't think it matters. Whatever gets you there and gets you to improving your life, that's what matters. And that's what radical responsibility is. And if you want to take that in a spiritual sense, in a Christian sense, in a Buddhist sense, which I believe this Fleet Mall guy who wrote the book is like a Buddhist meditator dude. Yeah. Cool. So it does. I don't think it really matters. And again, I didn't even realize before we decided to do this episode that this was like an actual like book and program. It's like trademarked and shit, that radical responsibility. I didn't even realize that. But I don't think that matters either, because it's a concept that he developed a system to help people with.
Which, like, great. Right. Gonna go get the book.
Right. No, seriously. It sounds like a really interesting book. And it's something that it's nice to have a word for this process, mm-hmm. or a phrase, because like you said before, it's kind of like adulting just in general is yeah. Like it's another word for it is adulting, but it's a more serious way of looking at like systematically how to change your life. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. Just like think about that. Like just change your life. Just change your whole life. And you could do that. You could decide right now to start a new chapter, to go start an online business, to go get a new job or start applying for new jobs. You could just decide to go get an animal. You could go and get a new car and start Ubering instead of doing something that you're doing now. There's literally a million avenues of executing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely nuts when you start exploring those and all the possibilities.
And that really brings you into also like universal laws too. I mean,
law of attraction.
When you move into this stuff, you do, you start to attract the life that you want. You bring about what you think about. And I have heard people, you know, say things like, you can change your life today if you want to in the past. And I'm like, fuck off.
How?
Like, I don't, sometimes you just don't want to hear that. And if today,
no, for real,
if you're having one of those days, I'm really sorry.
Hopefully we're like, don't more mean encouraging it like that.
But maybe if you are having one of those days, maybe you brush your hair. I don't know. Like, it doesn't have to be.
Go do something good for yourself.
Eat a fruit.
eat a piece of pie.
Just eat a piece of pie and it'll be fine. But it doesn't have to be. It can be these really beautiful grand gestures of like literally changing your whole life. Or it can be these little things that you do every day, which ultimately will change your life. And when you combine, you know, I talked about having compassion for yourself, but when you combine your goal, idea, change with your emotion, that's when the magic happens. When you feel it, you can't think your way to this place. You can't. You can try, and you might get some progress, but I really truly believe that you have to embody it. You have to emotionally attach yourself to these things if you want long-lasting, real results.
Yeah, I love that word, embodying, because another thing I was just thinking about in terms of all this that we haven't touched on yet is, along with deciding to change your life, making big decisions, like embodying these emotions of the results that you want, all of this also centers around yourself and your authentic self. Mm-hmm. Because in order for this all to work seamlessly, you have to be in line with the most authentic truth and version and path that you have in front of you for it to feel and completely complete the picture.
You got to know thyself.
Yes. And you totally could make decisions and steps to change your life in a way that doesn't embody your most authentic self. Another thing that comes to mind that plays off of what you were saying about like exercising, and it kind of comes from a vanity point of view. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
But if it's only vanity, then you can totally make decisions to get ripped, or like look at bodybuilders who just like overdo it and do a bunch of steroids and shit and just want to like, they're just only focused on the body image. They're successful in their goal, mm-hmm. but are they happy? Are they healthy? Do they feel good? Do they get to where they are and then they're just like old and wrinkly and weird? Everybody's seen an old bodybuilder and they just kind of look like worn down.
Yeah, if you don't maintain that shit.
For sure. So yeah, there's definitely steps that you can take and change your life and it still not be your authentic self. So you gotta get to know yourself. You gotta accept and love yourself. And that's another thing I think everybody struggles with, but something that I've been struggling with again at my job is accepting that not everyone's gonna like me. That's okay. And I can still be my authentic self and have people not like me and I'll still feel better at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've always been so worried about fitting in or just making sure that no one is mad at me or unhappy with me. And that stems from trauma too. But I'm more happy when I'm just vibing.
Yeah, when I'm just doing your thing.
Exactly.
And I think part of authenticity is also being open to you changing. So what was authentic to me a year ago might not feel authentic to me today.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And like that's okay. And not only is it okay, it's kind of crazy that we can live all of these like mini lives within this one life.
Yes. That's something you just triggered a thought that I've had many times in my life that I haven't thought about in a while because I don't wear makeup, and that's going to sound really out of nowhere, but that's something I've struggled with is because in high school I wore makeup like eyeliner, just basic. I'm not good at makeup. So it's very basic makeup. I wore it every day and then I kind of slowly stopped wearing it. I'm just mostly lazy and I think I look good without it. So it's whatever. Like that's not the issue here. But the issue comes in when I randomly have the motivation to like do my hair or makeup. Sometimes I will convince myself not to do it because it will shock everybody.
No, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this a lot too because in the in the realm of like self-care, all of those things. I have a background in a very great, beautiful industry, the cosmetology industry. And there was a period in time where, like, if you looked at my wedding photos, you would be like, that's not you.
I literally didn't recognize you the first time you showed me some of those photos.
And I went
not in a mean way either.
No, but it's true. I had a very different way of presenting myself at that time. And right around the time that I actually met you and kind of we started becoming friends, I really let that all go. And I didn't let myself go in that way. I just made the decision that like, I don't really need all of that stuff. And now it's coming full circle where I kind of want to like do that stuff again, because it is a great way to tangibly practice that self-care. There's a billion ways you can practice self-care. But yeah, like I'm a woman and sometimes I do have these like very feminine urges to like, I don't know, like do a facial at home or like blow dry my hair. And there was a period where I really resisted that because I didn't want to associate with that previous version of myself, because underneath all that hair and makeup and all of that glam was a really sad, unhappy Chas.
Right.
So when I came out of that, it was authentic to me because I was letting all of that shit go to just be my raw, perfect self. And then I went too far, as I do.
Libra, your scales, they got to go back and forth a little bit.
So then when I wanted to kind of get back into that, I was like, no, that's not authentic and you don't need it and people are going to judge you. And like, what are all your natural friends going to say about you if you just showed up with makeup one day? Like, literally, those are real thoughts that went through my brain. And now, like I said, it's coming back to this place where like, I got a haircut yesterday. Like I'm trying to do these things that I know for a fact are going to make me feel good and not judge myself for doing them. And judging yourself is, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but it's part of it, because when you are resisting this radical responsibility to make yourself happy, to make your life happy, it stems from a place of self-judgment. And you're judging yourself on whether or not you're worth it, whether or not you can do it, whether or not it's going to benefit you. And all those questions may be valid, but like it's still coming from a place of questioning. And I'm all about questioning, like question everything, free think, whatever. But don't forget to allow yourself to do those things if you feel that inner push or desire to do it. And don't judge yourself for it, because it's just fucking stupid.
Yeah. No, totally. And those seem like small things, but like we keep saying, it's the baby steps. It's anything that moves you forward. But I think just getting to know what really rings true to your authenticity is really important, because that's what is going to attract the life that's the most authentic to you and that will feel the best to you.
Yeah.
I really think that we can all do a lot of little things that will raise our vibrations to the level that is going to be most conducive to that. And I don't think it's as complicated or woo-woo as it can sound sometimes. And we like going there, but it's as simple as if you, for example, want to the thing coming to my mind is like be a farmer, because that's kind of what I want to do, but not like a literal farmer. But like I want to have a little homestead. I want to have land. I want to have animals. That's what I want. So if I want those things and I can't have them now, what, and that feels authentic, how can I change my vibrations to get there? I can research how to take care of animals. I can go visit places that have farm animals and learn about them more. I can find ways to make the money to afford that stuff. And I don't feel like my current job is going to get me there. So I have to find new ways to make money to get there. And these are the little things that, like, once you find the thing that makes your heart set on fire, find ways to align with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And that thing might change. It might stay the same. No matter what it is, just make sure that it's what you actually want and it's not something that's being imposed on you from friends, family, society, whatever the heck. Like, make sure it's really what you want. And then do anything and everything you can to embody that goal or that lifestyle. Tie your emotions into it. Yes. Make a fucking vision board.
Yeah. Like, those are so cheesy, but they're honestly good for a reason.
Like, it's cheesy.
It just is associated with a lot of cheesy stuff.
But I don't think it's cheesy. And I'm going to say that because I am somebody that's very kinesthetic. I really value being able to do something with my hands, lay it all out, and then have it be like there and have me be able to see the accomplishment. So like, I think it's a great tool to be able to, I mean, could you imagine if you just like put goats all around your room? Like how you would
do,
but like literally, yeah, like no. Everywhere you designed your barn on Photoshop, like you printed all of this shit out and you just had it everywhere all the time. Those constant reminders, like you would literally be thinking like farmstead 24/7. So, I mean, cheesy or not, I don't really give a shit, but I think those are great ways to be able to tie it into your everyday life. And when you surround yourself, you are who you surround yourself with, whether that's people, practices, environments, whatever.
Yeah. And if you don't know what that future that you want is, that's a great time to explore yourself and do things that you are curious about. Follow your desires, follow your heart. Don't overthink things so much. When you get on the right path, and I think you said this off mic, but when you get on the right path, it will feel effortless. Mm-hmm. It won't be difficult. It won't be.
You won't have to force. Like, yes. It's like the square peg round hole kind of thing. It won't be like that. It will align. And when you align yourself with your goals and what you really want, then that alignment starts to actually play itself out in your life. And that's when you start to see those effortless pieces fall into place.
It's kind of like you have a lock and you have like 300 keys and you know one of these keys is going to unlock this lock. But sometimes you just have to try every key, mm-hmm. and you have to keep trying. And you will eventually find the one that unlocks that fire inside your heart. But it's okay if you have to try some keys. Some mm-hmm. people get lucky and they find the key on the first fucking try or the first 10 tries. But some people have to keep trying keys mm-hmm. until they find it. But that's still radical responsibility.
And repetition in all of this is key. We talk about it's a practice.
Key.
Yeah, literal
sorry.
Key.
Sorry.
Nice pun. Sort of. Not really a pun, but whatever.
I liked it.
Repetition is everything. Do it and do it every day. There are days where...
Or think it every day.
If I was just going to say, there are days if I'm in that negative headspace, ooh, some days I have to take it hour by fucking hour. And that sounds crazy to somebody who doesn't have to do that. Just think it. I don't understand. But some days it's like that. Other days it's not. But there are days where I have to really become aware of what thoughts are going through my brain. And that's a part of mental health, radical responsibility. Like, I understand that, you know, there are circumstances where there's imbalances or whatever, and you need to seek, you know, help that.
But that's still taking responsibility.
Exactly. That's what we were saying earlier about like the therapy and stuff. But I think one step to, if you are in a place to be able to practice this just on your own, be aware of the thoughts that you're thinking. When you actually do that, it's mind-blowing because you're not conscious of everything that goes through your brain. And when you start to become conscious, you think sometimes weird things.
Yeah.
Sometimes really awful things, though. Even just like self-talk, like being embarrassed. I think you post on Instagram, like you often find yourself feeling embarrassed when you express a big emotion. And then that one thought of like, oh, I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have done that. You'll start to repeat that to yourself in every instance that you become embarrassed. And then you're embarrassed a lot more times than you think. Like, it's not just in big emotions. Maybe it's like you drop like a whole entire bowl of soup. I don't know, but you'll start.
So specific. Did you do that?
No. I was trying to think of something like really fucking annoying that would really piss me off.
It was like the pie comment, but like
I would just be really mad if I made a pot of soup and then you just like dropped it. You know what I mean? Because soup, it takes a while.
Like in the office with the chili. God,
I would just be so mad. But you drop the soup and then you're like, oh, I'm an idiot. So then it just starts to itself out in all of these little areas And then before you know it, you're standing in front of the mirror waking up and you're like, I'm an idiot.
No, and I we've talked about this. I have that issue. And sometimes when it's been happening for a while, you forget why.
Yeah.
And you still have to reprogram yourself. And my thing is, I will just, out of nowhere, I'll just be like, I fucking hate myself.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I fucking want to die. And it's like, what? Whoa. Why did I? Why?
Now it's at a point where I'm like, ah, why did you just think that? But before, I had no idea how regularly I was just thinking these toxic ass thoughts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I will literally feel like a crazy person sometimes because I'll be like, oh, I fucking hate myself. And then I'll be like, no, you don't. No, you
I
don't.
I have to like shake my head.
Yep.
Like me and my husband do this all the time. We were like getting hyped up to, I went to a HIIT class this morning, but he went to an MMA class today. And it's, those are things that are very much out of either one of our comfort zones. I mean, he is very much into like fitness and all of that stuff. So it's in his realm of interest, but like, that's not his comfort zone. His comfort zone is lifting really heavy weights and
lift big things.
Just, yeah. But this is really out of his comfort zone. So, you know, we're trying to like hype each other up, like doing things that make us uncomfortable, but he literally had to like put his hands on his head and be like, you can do this. And sometimes it takes, again, like that kinesthetic, tangible representation of encouragement to yourself in order to be able to do those things. And if you look fucking crazy, you're not the only one. It's fine.
The other day I was getting in my car after work, after like a particularly hard day. And normally there's like a scream moment in my car after like, I think everybody has those.
Especially when it's cold. And that has nothing to do with work.
Yeah.
But like.
No, but I was getting in my car and I was still in the parking lot at work. And I was like getting in my car and I heard myself go, fucking motherfucking cunt. And then I'm like, oh shit, the door's not even closed yet. Like. People might have heard me. Just I was literally like sitting in my car like, oh no, I hope no one heard that. I'm just like, fucking cunts.
Oh my God.
Sometimes you just gotta like swear it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else you want to add? Because we're kind of through it all. I really liked this episode. We didn't have a lot of planning going into this because we just didn't.
My fave ones.
But yeah, they always turn out really good when we just kind of flow with it.
Yeah. So be radically responsible and start in the small ways and then work your way up if you want to or don't, like whatever, your life.
I encourage you to be radically responsible of reviewing us on Apple Podcasts because there's a lot of you and we have 28 reviews and I just want some more stars. Come on, help counteract the guy who gave us one star and called us white supremacists, which is just
zoinks,
so wrong. Anyway,
yeah,
hope you liked this. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye
bye.
I'm just gonna like not.